And right now, time to say good morning to Peter Allam on this bright and breezy Monday morning. Peter, good morning and welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to all the listeners out there. Still very, very chilly in the morning. It was only 11 degrees when I came in.
Ooh,
so the cold is there today. Nice hot day yesterday during the day, but obviously turned cold in the evening again. So we seem to be getting 20, 21 in the daytime and down to 10, 11 at night.
At night.
Proper old-fashioned winters.
Right. Yeah. Winter has arrived. Peter, we spoke last week about online purchasing, and before we get into today's chat, we were going to continue with that theme. Just some comments that came in from listeners, and one of them was sort of by way of a warning that, you know, when you buy something online, you generally look at the pictures and you think that, okay, well, this item is this big, be it an ornament or maybe tools or something to that effect. But what they suggested, and obviously somebody that had been caught out or received a warning of it, is to make sure that you actually check the actual dimensions, the physical printed dimensions, which would be on a spec sheet of some sort. You know, the specifications of the item would have dimensions. And they suggest that you should actually just double-check those dimensions before you make that purchase, because you might end up getting the item and it's too small or it's too big or it looked the right size in the picture, but it turns out not to be.
Yeah, very, very important. Spot on, whoever that listener is. Actually, wonderful comment from them. Very, very important. So when you're buying online, make sure that you check what the specifications are. But together with checking what the specifications are, it's also very important that you confirm what the store refund policy is, so that if you're buying something, that you don't get the complete opposite or a smaller project, and that you're entitled to a refund and a return. That's very important as well.
Right.
Because what we've got today is your rights explained, like we mentioned. That's our chat. Uh-huh. And basically that's to say that you have a right to quality goods. You don't have to buy junk. You don't have to buy something that is not suitable for what it is intended. So let's start by saying that you have a right to quality goods. Mm-hmm. In other words, they use a very doubtful word, though. They say that it must be reasonably suitable for the purposes for which it is normally intended. So I don't like the word reasonably suitable, but yes, that is the word that comes insofar as, you know, anybody checking on a refund or something like that. It must be of a good quality as well. That it must be in good working order and free of any defects. So when you buy, you need to make sure that it's suitable for the purposes, that it's of a good quality, that it's in working order, that it doesn't have any defects, cracks, breaks, or anything like that on it. It must be usable, and it must be usable for a decent period of time. I mean, you know, and it must comply with any applicable standards that there are. So, for example, if you buy a little radio or something, you must make sure that you can get sound out of it. You must make sure that you know, the radio works, that it's compliant and that type of thing. So very important, and like whoever the listener is that phoned in, it must be suitable for the specific purpose that you were informed the supplier wished you to use it for. It must be of the size, of the quality, and that type of thing.
Yes,
in this day and age, you know, people say that there are a lot of cheap imitation goods around. Some of them work as well as the real things. But as I say, the word there is reasonably suitable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important there. But going with that as well is that indeed you do have an automatic warranty that comes into place. In other words, no matter what, they come along and say that there is a guarantee on the goods and that, you know, once you've opened it, that's the end of it. It's not such. There is an automatic six-month warranty that is applicable to not only goods bought online, but any goods that you buy anywhere in any event. You know, so if anything goes wrong within the six-month period, you are entitled to return an item. You know, got to check the company policy store policy to see whether it's going to be repaired or replaced. Make sure that you check on that, because a lot of places say we will send it for repair first because we're not sure whether you broke it or whether it came broken or something is there from the manufacturer's side. So in certain cases, the supplier will not replace but will remedy it, the fault with it within a reasonable period of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just a case of I don't like the goods, I want to send them back, or there's something wrong with it, I'm sending it back. The supplier as well, there are two sides to the coin. There's the supplier and the buyer. So the supplier also has the right to inspect the item to see what the cause of it is, and if necessary, he may repair it. You know, you might not want that. You might say, no, I don't want something that's repaired. But if you do get it and it is repaired, make sure that you have your guarantee extended, that you put that in writing with them. So I'll take it, but, you know, my guarantee must last 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Or if it's got a longer guarantee for that guarantee period. There mustn't be something that says, which is often in small writing, that once repaired, the guarantee falls away and that type of thing. So be careful of your warranties. Check what it is. You know, we all do this. We go into a shop, we buy something, we're so excited, we come home, we use it for a day, it breaks, and we say, ah, I only paid 5 or 6 rand for it, I'm leaving it. You know, that's not the point. The point is that, you know, you are spending money on it. So make sure that you do find out what the store's policy is with regard to that. They may not expect you, you know, often I've heard of people that go in and they bought something, and then they take it back and they say, but you bought something cheap. Rather buy a proper model and get what you want. You know, they can't force you into doing that as well. So don't be conned. What you can do is if they come with something like that, you can say to them, no, I'd rather just have my money back and I'll buy later when I'm happy and when I have the funds to do it. So another thing that often happens at the businesses is that they come along and they say, where's your original packaging? Where's the box that it came in? That's not a requirement. You know, you may be asked, some shops are clever. I know that some of them stamp the guarantee onto the inside of the box.
Yes.
So I know that's a policy of one or two of the supermarkets. You go through the till and you don't get a paper with the guarantee. You don't get a slip with the guarantee. They put a stamp onto the inside of the box. People get home, put it out, it's a kettle or something, use it for 6 months, and then it packs up, and where's the guarantee? Oh, hell, it was on the inside of a box.
Yeah, we threw it away.
After a week or two, I've thrown it away. So, yeah. So you must understand that where they stamped the box, that is a specific instruction to you that they are in some way necessitating that if it goes wrong, you've got to bring it back in that box.
Yeah.
So be careful over there in that regard. Also, if you've modified anything, if you've cut the plug off, for example, you know, they normally come these days with a plug that you can't change like the old days. They come with a sealed plug. Be careful chopping that plug and putting an extension onto something or chopping the plug in anyway, because if you have, you know, hindered the goods or not hindered the goods, but in any way, you know, after leaving control of the supplier, tampered with them, you're in trouble because they can rely on that to say, no, sorry, you've played with it. We don't know that that's not the cause of it. So be careful with any modifications that you make to anything, taking it apart or something like that. You know, if it blows a fuse or something and you can't get to it, don't open it, because these days they can even tell you when you've broken the seal on the screw and that type of thing. So, you know, those are all the possibilities that there are with an automatic warranty that can be challenged. And I started by saying the store refund policy, very, very important. You need to find out what the terms and conditions are. Even when you buy online, you get terms and conditions on everything. We bypass it. You know, we put it in the basket. We then go to payment. We pay because we want to get the goods as soon as possible. But we don't realize that it's important to read the terms and conditions, the refund policy in particular, which should be in there.
Yes.
And like the listener said, the size of the goods is so important. So, you know, make sure that if you're buying a little kiddie's pool, you're buying one that's 2 meters by 1 meter, not buying one that's 1 meter by 50 for one child. You know, that you can record out so easily there with with size, like the listener said. I mean, that I've seen so many times. Mm. You order, you know, little toys or little kiddies things, and when they come, they're so small you can't use them. I know I had an instant where I bought online a little pool for my grandkids and a set of spades and forks and buckets for the sea sand. When they came, I think, I don't even think a one-year-old could have played with them. They were so small. They were like little miniatures. You know, it was very nice, but one person, the little baby fitted in there. The minute the child was 1 year old, it was big enough. But, so like the listener said, be careful that what you order is what you've got. Make sure the goods are there. Make sure that they've explained what it is. And we go back to the top where I said there is an automatic 6-month warranty. No matter what, even if the store says no refunds once you leave the store, anything like that, that is illegal. There is that. The footstool clause, you know, it's the seller. What footstool basically means is that the seller or the party selling is not liable for any defects, diseases, anything in an item that is stole. You take it as it is with all its pros and cons, and that's the end of it. But yes, you are protected by the CPA, the Consumer Protection Act ensures that they cannot deprive you of that. The quality of goods and the footstool clause will not be applicable. But it does, once again, depend on the terms and conditions. So if, for example, I buy a second-hand chair, and the guy said, this leg has a slit in it, so I'm selling it to you with a defective leg, you're buying it footstools, and it's brought to your attention, and then you still buy it, then the footstool clause will come into effect. So long, you know, you can't escape liability unless you've pointed out what that defect is. Defects are covered, but be careful. Make sure that it's not visual as well. I mean, you also, if you're going to buy something and it's got a big crack in it, or it's got a tear in it, or something like that, what the eye can see doesn't mean that you can turn a blind eye on it. You know, you're then buying as is. If I sell you something, if I sell you a kitchen curtain, for example, and it's got a big tear in it and it's easily visible, I can't bring it back 2 weeks later on the thought of, oh, I could cut that little piece off and it would have fitted my window. That's not good enough, you know. The other important part today in buying goods is let's go to foodstuffs. The sell-by date.
Yes.
You know, there are so many different views on what the best-before date means. The best-before date does not mean anything about the quality of the good. It's more about the safety of the goods. So when the date runs out, like people say, they take their stuff and they turf it in the bin and things like that, that's not the position. It doesn't mean that the food will be harmful. It doesn't mean that it's off or anything like that. The only thing is that what is happening is that they say that is the period within which it should retain its flavor and texture, and, you know, it could get stale, possibly that type of thing. So a sell-by date is not something that you can take back to say you passed the sell-by date. So you should always have a look at it. But there are some foods, and this is where it's important, that, you know, stuff like fresh chicken, fish, veggies that have passed their sell-by date, you need to be cautious of. You know, if you have a look at certain stuff, and I know that an example has been made of fish in a tin with tomato sauce or tomato puree, you know, it can go off, it can cause corrosion, it can cause problems if it's past the sell-by date. So it's just a matter of being cautious. If you've got goods that have expired and the quality is not good, you may request a replacement or a refund depending on when you purchase it. You can't buy something in January that expires in March and then you want to take it back in November of that year. So, you know, and what can happen is that, yes, very easily it can lead to food poisoning. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, food poisoning is something that comes about as a result of being passed the sell-by, used-by date, and there are a lot of claims at the moment that are taking place in that regard. So if you actually go on, if we actually deal with food poisoning next, you know, your symptoms are vomiting, stomach cramps, diarrhea, nausea, fever, headache, you know, muscle aches, shivering, tiredness, fatigue. Those are all symptoms of food poisoning that you can get as a result of the food that you've eaten and that type of thing. So, you know, you need to be careful there. Make sure that you know what you're eating. Make sure that you've checked. Make sure that your hygiene at home is good as well. Don't forget that you can pick it up because you've used a dirty counter or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
The food can become contaminated afterwards. You know, some people cook a nice curry and say, leave it for 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
They leave it on the stove without a lid. The flies go in and the cockles get around and they... Or the top goes hard and they just scrape it off. All of that can add to it. So be careful. Food is something that you need to be careful with. You know, but yes, there are claims that arise out of food poisoning, which has to do with your right to, you know, making sure that you've got the correct thing. And if you are experiencing anything like that, every area as a party concerned, we fall under Amatola, and I know the name of the guy there used to be Mr. George Rousseau at Buffalo City. I'm not sure if he's the person in charge there, but that's the go-to person if you have picked up food poisoning from one of the stores or something like that. So, you know, that's another aspect that comes into the picture. Defects in goods, damages. Do you suffer damages, like we mentioned, depending on what the circumstances are? You know, you are allowed to claim against suppliers and manufacturers of goods for damages, for injuries, for bad goods, for, you know, irrespective of what the situation is. If there was any negligence or something like that, let's say that you bought an electrical gadget and it wasn't properly earthed or something like that, and you get a truck or something like that, yeah, you do have a claim. You know, and sadly, the claims are there for such things as, you know, the death or illness or injury to a person, the damage caused to property. In other words, that you bought a heater and it set your whole electrical appliances and electricity supply backwards because it wasn't properly, you know, in terms of the Electrical Act and that type of thing. So, you can claim for economical loss, which means it's a direct financial loss that you suffer as a result of, be it hospital bills in illness, be it a loss of income because of that illness that you suffered with the food poisoning and that. It might be for the goods that you've done, that your power's down and you've got a bill to fix. The electrician has to come in and sort that out and that type of thing. So damages are there. Prescription period there is a normal 3 years. So be careful. If you've got a claim, make sure that you see somebody that's going to prove your claim or that you address it and that you have a summons issued within a period of 3 years. You know, sometimes you can prove damages quite easily. So if you have something that's gone wrong, go see an attorney and get it sorted immediately. Don't leave it. Very important. Prescriptions of utmost important, and there are certain, if you've got something, for example, that you purchased from a government party or something like that, there are certain time frames that have to be adhered to. There are certain notices that have to be furnished, so be careful in that regard. You know, that's basically where we are today. One last important thing, though, that I did see when I was doing the research here, is that famous old thing that you walk into a shop and the item is marked 10 Rand. When you get to the till, they put it through the scanner and it says, no, this product is actually 15 Rand. Are you entitled to that? Yes. If you've got a price on a product, you are entitled to pay that one. They cannot argue with you. They cannot say they refuse to sell it to you. The advertised price must go. But, for example, you often find that with the pamphlets that come out these days, they advertise something. So they advertise, for example, washing powder, which costs 115 Rand for 15 Rand. It's a typing error. If they immediately notify everybody in the store as well where you're going to go buy it from, notify people online that it was a mistake, then you cannot insist on getting it at the advertised price.
Yes.
So, you know, if it's a genuine mistake, the law does allow the supplier, the principal, to be applied that, you know, that they can correct the advertisement. The supplier is not bound by an advert, but would be liable for contravening the section. You can report it, but it's probably not going to allow you to get away with it. Mm. I mean, you know, you often hear of people advertising a motor vehicle for 50,000. They've left one off and it should be 500,000. So, you know, if it's unreasonable, nobody's going to come to your help. You can't force the person into selling it for you for the amount that it's been advertised.
Yes, yes.
Funny enough, though, your TV, radio, and newspaper, there's a binding offer there. So if you, for example, are given something, let's just use an example, by one of the supermarkets to advertise bread at, say, 12 Rand instead of the normal 18 Rand, I think it is these days, they would be bound. Of course, they've got that simple little thing, while stocks last.
Yes.
They add to everything.
Yeah.
So that while stocks is something to draw the people to the premises. So you walk in and all of a sudden all the bread is off the shelf. Sorry, we've sold out.
But you're there already.
I've never been there.
So you're...
Now the display price ticket is bound. They are bound to that. So if the guy doing the marking has made a mistake, it's your good day, it's your good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're insistent, they must give it to you at that price. Mm-hmm. You know, with the tiller, with the intention of buying it, you go there and you think you're going to pay 10 Rand. It's got a 10 Rand tag. They must give it to you at that price.
Yes, yes. And Peter, just a question on that with your, say, your advertising in the shop. Let's say there's a stack of milk, and up until yesterday evening in your favorite supermarket, the milk was 20 Rand on special. But that special ended last night when the shops closed. This morning, you walk in there, you're the first customer through the door, but they haven't cleared that display away yet. And but on, let's say, on the ticket, on the adverts that's displaying this milk, there's a date until Sunday. But now you walk in there first thing on Monday morning, and that display is still there, and that advert is still there with a little date in very, very small print, because obviously that's not the main part of their focus on that display. And you grab your milk, think, okay, I'm going to pay that amount for it, and you get to the till, and it's back to its old price.
No, that's tough luck. Where they have a definite note to say, for example, milk is that price until the 14th of July.
Yeah.
On the 15th of July, it's within reason that they're entitled to change that. If you get to the till and you've got good luck and they haven't changed the till yet,
well, then you get it.
There might be a flip every now and then, but no, that's like I said, the supplier, there are two sides to a story. There's a supplier side and there's the buyer side. So the supplier also has the right to correct things.
Yes, okay.
But as we mentioned, be within reason. And for example, if the milk was individually marked, and you get to the till and that old price tag is on there, tough luck.
Then that's the price.
At that price.
Oh.
But like you say, where there's a tag on the front and it says expires 14th of July, you're not going to get away with it.
Okay. Even though that advert and that billboard is still standing there, it doesn't matter. It's got
standing over there, it's got an expiry date. That's what... it is all about.
Right. So you've just got to be wide awake and have your wits about you. Peter, thank you very, very much. And once again, a very interesting chat.